Welcome, everybody. We've just got a few more coming in. Well, good morning, everybody. It's very good to see you. And we've got a special guest today in the form of Peter and Julia, who come all the way from Weymouth. Long way. Who's been to Weymouth? Yeah. Oh, there we are. Look, you're amongst friends. There you go. And so Peter and Julia have loved Leslie and I, and loved Rachel and Adam, our daughter and son-in-law, who were part of their church. Peter was my mentor as a newly accredited minister, and so went through all the ups and downs of what that entails. And Peter was due to be here at my induction, but his mum died that weekend, didn't she? And so he wasn't able to come. Then he was booked in for last May for our church anniversary, and you were then recovering from COVID.
I was.
And we weren't, I don't think we were here anyway. So we're really pleased you're here. And it's just lovely to have you with us. It's such a blessing on this church anniversary. Let's pray before we do anything else. Father, we thank you that you welcomed us into your house. You welcome us into your family. Thank you that your arms are always open wide. Thank you that you welcome us just as we are. We pray that you would meet with us, speak to us, bless us, that we may be a blessing to you, to one another, and our whole community. Amen. Just a couple of notices. We had an exciting time at the AGM on Tuesday. When was the last time you heard that an AGM was exciting? It was an exciting time as we met with God to discern his mind with regard to the appointment of deacons. Joan has been appointed as a new deacon, and Andrew Worth, who's working today, which is why he's not here, and Andrew Hamilton, were both reappointed, and we're going to be praying for them, particularly next Sunday, together as a group. But we're really grateful for our deacons, and I mentioned on Tuesday that how much Andrew Worth does around the place. The fact he's working today means that all sorts of other things have to be done by other sorts of people. And it just shows how much we each need one another. The other thing that happened, amongst many others, at our AGM was that God led us to take the step of faith to resolve to appoint Debbie. Would you just wave, Debbie? To help us in the area of mental health and well-being. To lead us, equip us. And so as a church, we can add to what we're already doing and coming alongside people. And she's given me a card this morning, which, for those with good eyesight, you can see it's a duck thing, just or a chick. I think probably a duckling. Yes, it's a yellow duckling just about to take a leap of faith into a bowl of water, something we might call a diving board moment. To Stephen, the deacons, and all of the membership at Paignton Baptist Church, Debbie writes, "Bless you all for stepping out and taking a leap of faith at this time. Thank you for the beautiful pastoral hearts that shone through this week and the way that you responded to the opportunity of prayer and fasting to discern God's will for his community centered around Winner Street. You have totally blessed me by giving me this opportunity to join you, serve God, his people, and the lost and scattered lambs in Winner Street and beyond. I look forward to walking with and alongside you over the next few years as we watch God grow his kingdom, plan and learn together, and grow closer to God. Sending love and blessings to you all, Debbie." Can we give you a kiss back? Mwah. Because you put a kiss on here. Can we have a just round of applause just to say well done? We can't hug you and cheer and everything we'd like to do, but yes, we look forward to what the future will unfold over the next however long. It's going to be great. Thank you for that, Debbie. I really appreciate that. I thought I'd just mention it's church anniversary today, and 135 years ago, a church came together in this place, called, I presume, Gwynedd Street Baptist at that time, now renamed Paignton Baptist Church. And there's a very interesting book that I've had around for a while at home. I borrowed from here. It's Gwynedd Street Baptist, Paignton, A History of the First 100 Years, taken from the church minute books. And it's really interesting, the details of what goes on. As you would expect, life hasn't changed. There's many things in here that we still see now. And I thought particularly it was really interesting that within a year of the new schoolroom being built, which is the building at the back where links are, within a year there were problems with the roof. Now, as Mark will tell you, at the moment, there's just about an expense needed on the roof of the same building 135 years on. So I don't know if it was built badly in the first place, or just something went wrong, or just it's what happens with flat roofs. But nothing has changed in the sense of problems are still problems. There was also trouble over a solo at the anniversary meeting. Is anybody intending to do a solo today? No, that's all right. We're not going to have trouble over a solo. Can you just imagine what that was? I mean, it's just amazing. There were difficulties. People walked out. People did this. People did that. People didn't know what to do. But also, there was enthusiastic giving for the new schoolroom. A lady came to a meeting, said, I'm going to give £5. If there's another £40 by such and such a date, we'll build. And by the end of the meeting, that had been covered. And I thought that was a great encouragement, because we said yes on Tuesday, knowing that there is a cost of responsibility in us to match what we say yes we'll do with how we'll pray and contribute and so on. But I thought, there we go, 135 years ago, the venture was to build a new schoolroom. Pam Biffle and others will tell you how many children were taught in that schoolroom. And now we have links, work in our secondary schools based there. So it is an encouragement, isn't it, on this anniversary, that people have kept on worshipping, kept on preaching, kept on serving, kept on loving, getting it wrong, getting it right, and yet we're here. So that's good. So, today we celebrate the goodness and faithfulness of God from the founding of this church in 1886. He's been here during each one of the past 135 years. And we rejoice together in his love and faithfulness that will continue forever. And I'd like you to respond using some words from the Psalms. This is Psalm 136. We're only going to have three of the verses, but you'll find all the way through that psalm, the same thing is said. The psalmist gives thanks, and he encourages you to respond with, his love endures forever. So as I say the first bit, I'd like you to say the second bit, if that's what you believe. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords.
His love endures forever.
His love endures forever. That's the truth we celebrate today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that those who founded this church in accordance with your command and by your provision, believed this same truth, that your love endures forever. And we are pleased to be able to continue that declaration. We celebrate this church anniversary, this church birthday. We thank you for all your goodness. Amen. Now, children, I have a particular task for you to do. Claire, could we have our PowerPoint up? Has anybody had a birthday this week? No. So that's the church's birthday day. So we've got Lexi, we've got Connie, and we've got Eva. And, excellent, we've got Zeb and Noah as well. Extra children. Right, children, I need you to do something because we're not allowed to blow. Could you do the next one, please? We've got a birthday cake. And what do you do with the birthday cake? What do you do with candles? You blow them out. Now, we're not allowed to blow, we're not to sing. We can't sing today, but we've only got five children. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We've only got five children. So you can blow. So on the count of three, I want you to blow the candles out and we'll see what happens. One, and blow, make sure you blow. 1, 2, 3. Yes, excellent. The power you have to blow out the candles. Happy birthday, Paignton Baptist Church. Should we just say that today together? Happy birthday, Paignton Baptist Church. And now let's worship. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails. As usual, feel free to stand, to sit, and hum and speak these words, just not sing. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's take this opportunity now to thank God for his goodness and faithfulness. Amen. When the Lord opens heaven for us in Scripture, we see worship. And day and night, they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Songs are always being sung. The same words over and over again, declaring the truth. We have now a song of declaration, which repeats the same words many times. And it's not something to be concerned that we're saying the same truth so many times, because it's true. Our God is an awesome God. We thank you for the opportunity today for others to be singing and us to agreeing with this declaration. Our God is an awesome God. Lord God, on a wet May day, where we've got carpet on our feet and seats and lights and fabric and stuff, it's only by your Spirit we can know that these words are true, that you reign in heaven above in wisdom, power and love. And as we've been thinking about the past, we celebrate the fact that you reign today and that your love will go on forever. There isn't going to be a day when your reigning stops, when you're no longer in charge. And so we worship you. And we worship you as the great God, our awesome God. You are big enough to deal with everything we face and more. You're big enough to deal with every situation for the whole of our lives and more. Thank you for the youngest to the oldest, that you have us on your heart. Amen. Right, well, Peter's going to be bringing God's word to us in a moment. And Jean is going to be doing the reading for us. And children, you've been really good at doing an activity each week. And it's been really helpful. And a bit later on in the service, we're going to share what you did last week, which is really good. But this time, I've got a special task for you to do. You've got your packs with you, hopefully, your paper and pens. You might need mum, dad, granny's help, depending upon what you think. But what I'd like you to do is to draw a birthday cake. I reckon you can do that. You can have as many candles on it as you like. You can have 135 candles on it if you like. If you can count them, that'll tax you. That'll be great. I'd like to do a birthday cake. And what happens often when you blow candles out on a birthday cake? What do people say? Make a wish. Now, we're not going to make any wishes today, but I thought we could say some prayers. We could make a prayer. So what I'd like you to do, children, is to draw your wonderful birthday cake, and I'd like you, with a bit of help, to ask God for something, to say a prayer, to make a prayer. And what we'll do a bit later on the service, when we come into praying, we're going to use your prayers. Okay, so birthday cake, as big as you like, as many candles as you like, and a prayer. You could be more than one prayer if you want. If you're not quite sure, how do I write that down? Just ask mum or dad or whoever's with you, this is what I want God to do. And they might be able to help you put that down. Okay? So, Peter, do you want to... Oh, sorry, Jean. I'll reading first and then Peter.
Our reading starts on page 439. Some verses from Chronicles. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the whole assembly of Israel and spread out his hands. But will God really dwell on earth with humans? Heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain you. How much less this temple that I have built? Yet, Lord my God, give attention to your servant's prayer and his plea for mercy. Hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence. May your eyes be open towards this temple day and night, this place of which you said you would put your name there. May you hear the prayer your servant prays towards this place. Hear the supplications of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray towards this place. Hear from heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshipped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, "He is good. His love endures forever." Amen.
Right, I'll pray for you, Peter. Father, we thank you for Peter, and we thank you for Julia. We thank you that their lives bear witness to the power of your word, the truth of your word, and the love that you have for each one of us. Pray you bless them now as they bring themselves to you and to us, and as Peter speaks the word you've given. Amen.
Let's start by bringing you greetings from Weymouth Baptist Church. We have yet to start meeting on a Sunday morning. We're recording services and putting them online, and we're looking forward to, I think, Sunday the 27th of June, when we are hoping to gather for the first time. But so greetings, and as Stephen said, I've been due to preach here a couple of times. So it's a joy to actually get here and be here in person with you and share with you today. And Jean read to us just a few verses of the passage that I'd like to draw your attention to, because, you know, there's some selected verses that she read so well. But, you know, there's 40 or 50 verses there that I'm going to be making reference to in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and into chapter 7. What is so special about this passage is that actually it's a point in the history of Israel that is very special to them and has poignant meaning to us, particularly as we seek to celebrate an anniversary service. You see, the children of Israel had been worshipping God in the tabernacle, that temporary tent, isn't it, where they worshipped God, and that's, they've been doing that since the days of Moses. But here they are now, at this time in history, in the days of Solomon, stood before this magnificent temple that they had built. And as they've gathered there, they're seeking God's blessing and asking him to pour out his spirit upon his house. And what we have here is a record of Solomon's prayer at that dedication service. And he prays and calls upon God to hear the prayers made in this place, in this temple. And he asks God to bless the people who honor this temple. And when he finishes praying, God answers by sending fire from heaven that consumes the burnt offering and by filling the temple with his glory. In fact, so much of God became present in that place that all the ministers in all their holy vestments were unable to go in and actually minister. You know, I don't know if you've ever experienced a sense of the presence of God where actually you cannot do anything. Now, they're not just stories of the past, they're stories of the present as well. I've had tasters of those things. And I've met other people who've experienced those things. And I would love to be in that place where actually God is so real that everything else fades away. And I believe that's true. We are gathered here today on your 135th anniversary service to do essentially the same thing Israel was doing back in the day of Solomon. To come before God and seek his face and ask him to pour out his spirit upon his church, upon this house. And when I mean the house of the Lord, it's not just the bricks and mortar that make this place. You are the house of the Lord, aren't you? You're the living stones. We are the body. We are the church. You know, I love that phrase that, you know, you should have up on your door when you go out. The church is now leaving the building. Because that's what happens. The church goes out, scatters as salt and light every week. And it comes back and something special happens here. And it's special and unique and we should never be lost. But the church is alive all the hours that we're not together here in this one place as well. And we come today and we call upon God that he might pour his spirit upon his house, his people, and upon our gathering as well as our scattering. Now, I don't believe God just blesses any old house, but I do believe God is seeking a house to bless. Right? And as we look into this passage, I'd like us to look at what I consider is four distinct characteristics mentioned about the temple. And these characteristics are the things that God still blesses today as we seek to be the people of God in our generation. I'd like to take you through those four characteristics. And the first one is fairly obvious. The first one is that this house should be a house of prayer. Right? This house should be a house of prayer. And as such, it is a place that is consecrated. Verses 12 to 9 of chapter 6, 12 to 19, chapter 6, tell us about that. In Isaiah, we read that God says, my house is to be a house of prayer. We know that Jesus reaffirms the same thing, doesn't he? When he goes into the temple, my house should be a house of prayer. First and foremost of all the business that church conducts, prayer is essential. In fact, When we think of powerless churches, it's because they're prayerless churches. Nothing touches heaven more than a simple call from a child of God, isn't it? Ask and you shall receive. Touch the hem of his garment. Have faith that when you just call on God, God wants to bless you. And as we go through a new year and as you embark on a new venture as a church, then seek his face and let prayer be the place where it begins. This is a consecrated place. It's also a place where cares are dealt with. Verse 20 onwards, Solomon prays and he asks the Lord to hear the supplications of God's people. He wants God's house to be a place where anyone can bring their cares and place them before the Lord. And I want to remind you, even in this generation, when people kind of, we've all been on the internet, we've all been digital church, but there is something special still coming together as the people of God and sharing your burdens, isn't it? You know, and I say that because that is something unique. We have prayer lines. I don't know if you have these. We have prayer telephone lines through all our life groups. For those who are not in life groups, we have prayer diaries. We produce all sorts of things to initiatives to help people pray. But there's nothing better than if someone comes in and says, I need my brothers and sisters to pray for me. And we can gather around and we can pray. This church to be a place where cares can be shared. The Lord says, I care for you. You have a family that cares for you. There is nothing better than bringing those cares and knowing that the friends, your brothers and sisters in Christ, are going to get under that burden and carry that burden with you. Therefore, we have nothing to fret, nothing to worry about, nothing to fear of all the valleys and the hills of life, because we can come to the place of prayer where God invites us to. And in this consecrated place that is a place of prayer, it's also a place for conflicts. If you look at what Solomon talks about, verse 22 onwards, he actually talks about that when there are two troubled groups or two troubled people, then the place to settle it is in the house of the Lord. You know, you cannot be loving your brother and sister and hating them at the same time. You know, division doesn't work that way in the people of God. We can't be praying for one another and hating one another, having bitterness towards one another. Goes against the grain of everything the Bible says. And it still works today that actually if we come and before one another and pray for one another, then we will begin to take on God's desires for that other person. And we will be the ones that forgive, and we'll be the one that won't hold the grudge. We'll be the one that wants to resolve that situation. Church is a place of conflict. We all know that, don't we? I mean, you know, I've been a pastor for I don't know how many years now. The conflicts I've had to deal with, but the best place to deal with it is when we get on our knees and we humble ourselves before God. Because when we humble ourselves before God, then actually the resistance we have to each other should crumble. Church, the house of God, is a place where conflicts are resolved, because it's a house of prayer. Because it's a house of prayer, it's also a place for casualties. And that's what Solomon talks about in verses 24 onwards. Solomon calls upon the Lord to hear the cry of the battle-weary believer. Whether you understand it all or not, we're all engaged in brutal spiritual conflicts. Our battle isn't against flesh and blood. We have spiritual issues that we have to deal with. Sometimes people are involved. We find ourselves engaged in spiritual warfare, whether it's keeping our faith fresh or whether it's overcoming some habitual temptation that we, we're entangled with, whether it's, handling the hurts we've been through, that sense of betrayal we may have felt that's lingering onwards. It's a spiritual battle, isn't it? It may be dealing with some difficult people, but sometimes whilst we're in those battles, we're wounded. Those fiery arrows of the devil stick in, don't they? And at some point we have to come before God and say, in the name of Jesus, pluck it out. It doesn't belong in me. It doesn't belong in the person who is trying to follow the Lord, who wants to be the best fellow brother and sister in Christ that we can be. We're wounded, but we don't have to shy away from one another. When we're wounded, we come to the house that is God's, and it's a house of prayer where people love you and they want to carry that burden with you and they want to help you. We're to be the place where the weary can come and find refreshment and healing and help. It is here that they will get a word from the Lord and a place to lay their burdens down. It is here that they're going to find new strength, isn't it? Isn't it times that true of our own testimony? God speaks to us when we gather together and someone says something and it's just the right thing for you. And immediately, you're like Isaiah. It's in Isaiah when it says you're soaring on the wings of eagles. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has taken that word and touched your heart. See, when the house is a place where there is prayer and there is concern and there is cares, conflicts are resolved, casualties get healed. You see, that's why church is a special place, isn't it? And as you go forward, making that prayer a priority. So in this house of prayer, we've got a place that is consecrated, a place that cares, conflicts, casualties. I've got some more. It's also a place for confession. Solomon deals with this in verse 26 to 30. Solomon wants to deal with the sins of his people. And although the whole chapter, in a way, has had that undercurrent, he teaches us here that prayer is the remedy. When we have sinned, we need to come back before God. And in the Lord's house, there is no better place. For them, there was a place like an altar, isn't it? We don't have altars so much in Baptist churches. We have communion tables. We have steps. But I'll tell you, some of the times, best times in my life is when I come forward at a meeting and just knelt at the front. And I've been able to kind of unburden my heart before God. And I've been surrounded by others who've actually supported and prayed for you. And I realize I'm in a house of prayer. There may not be no high altar as such, but that altar is actually before God, and that's what matters. We take our sins there. And in 1 John tells us if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins.
We need to come daily before God. We can do it at home, but there's also a sense we need to do it in the church as well. And do not allow your sin to prevent the church from flourishing.
That can happen. Go back and read in the book of Joshua, the sin of Achan, one man's sin, halted the whole movement of the people of Israel. We think, that surely can't happen. Yes, it can. So we should all have short accounts with God. We should come and confess our sin. It's a place of confession. Finally, in this part, it's a place of consecration, because when we pray, we ought to seek God's face. The place is consecrated, but it's a place of consecration. We are the ones now who come and seek God's face and humbly bow before him, seek his will for our lives and his glory in our life and in our society. There's no better place to make our vow before God than before others and before God in his house. And say, yes, Lord. What a blessing it is for your pastors, for your leaders, when they see other people making their own vows before God and saying, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to recommit to you. I want to serve you like I've never served before. It's a place of consecration and of surrendering our lives to his will. The point about this is, this house of prayer is actually what, you know, is what this is all about. Is that no matter what help you need, at whatever stage of life you're at, you'll find it because there's someone to pray for you or where you can offer your prayer. First characteristic I want to share with you then is that this place is special because it's a house of prayer. Second characteristic is that this place is special because it's to be a house for people. It's a house for people. And Solomon wants to point out the many different people that this place is relevant for. As a church, we're to be open to people. First group he talks about is in verse 32. And he says, and this is my way of breaking down these verses, but he said, it's for the wandering stranger. In other words, those people who they weren't even part of God's covenant people of Israel at the time, they're just wandering. But if they come in, they're welcome to come in. Now you see, some of you might be wondering, why is this passage in 2 Chronicles at the Temple of Solomon, how many thousands of years ago, relevant to us today? Well, you see that, need to see that big picture, you see. The Jewish nation, the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, were to be a missionary people to the rest of the world. Sad fact is, they did not do that. And the mantle is passed to us. And we are now the missionary people. Right? Now, it doesn't mean to say God has abandoned the Jews. Don't get me wrong. Don't want you to misunderstand me there. But actually, he said they're not doing what they should have been doing, but we should be. And so we now are those that take this on board. And so we are the people that welcome other people. You see, when you look at, you know, Jewish religion, even as it stands today, it's not very welcoming. We should be the opposite, welcoming. And the first point he says, welcome the stranger. And if you go back and read all them notes, the Old Testament law, the Deuteronomic law, it's in there, isn't it? All about welcoming the alien and the stranger. But they failed to do it. And this is the lesson for the modern church. Anyone who wants to seek God, we should be welcoming. Our doors should always be open to those who don't even know the Lord. We're not a club here, right? We're to be a hospital for anyone who needs it. We may not agree with their lifestyles, but we need to receive them and we need to love them and we need to pray for them. And God will bless the church that has its doors open to strangers. Now, in ancient times, it was at the temple that the army of Israel would rally. And so Solomon also points out in verse 34, he said, this place is for the warring saints. You know, the army of the soldiers would look to the God of the temple, the God of Israel, Jehovah, to protect them and guide them as they went on into battle. And Solomon's prayer is that God would help his people when they do go off into battle. Well, in our day, we're not battling against flesh and blood. We're not armies in the sense that we're coming up in our uniforms this morning, although looking at all the master might be. We don't do that, do we? No, it's different for us, isn't it? We are a people full of the Spirit who face spiritual battles, not against flesh and blood. And we, as the army of God, Christian soldiers, we still need God's help and we need God's power. And the church should be a place where we who get battle scarred. And I, for one, confess to that. In fact, this week has been a really difficult week for me on a personal mental health level. You know, just that kind of being attacked, feeling low, you know, just kind of, when is this going to end? We're battle scarred. And we need to be a place that's not just open for the stranger coming in, but actually for those who are, maybe some of you, you've been Christians for years, but you feel battle scarred. Things have taken their toll, haven't it? Church life takes its toll. But we come and we find that we're in a place where we're accepted and we're loved. And we're prayed for. And we hear a word from our commander-in-chief. I don't mean Stephen. He's the voice piece. We hear from God. And we're refreshed and we're revived. And we're equipped. And we're recommissioned and we go out again. As soldiers, we're able to walk out of this church back into battle, to day-by-day life. Maybe it's your home life that is the battleground for you. Maybe it's your workplace. But we need to support each other. This place is for the battle-weary. He goes on in verse 36, and says it's also a place for what I'm calling the wayward saint. Right? Solomon asked God to incline his ear to the prayer of the repentant. See, there all comes a time in all of our lives when we have a little period of waywardness. You know, we often talk about the backslider. Oh, they're dreadful. I was one of those years ago. You don't know how far I backslid. To the point of getting a criminal record and dealing drugs and all sorts of things. But God redeemed me. But I'm not saying that everything's been hunky-dory since then. There's time when we get wayward, don't we? Church of God is to be a place for prodigals. Those who've gone away. How many of your children are following the Lord right now? Julia and I, it's one of our most earnest prayers. Our children to follow the Lord. We want them to come back. House of God is a place that welcomes the prodigals, those that have gone away, that they might humbly come back and be welcomed back into the fold. Before I carry on, before Solomon, concludes his prayer, he takes a moment to lift his voice in exaltation and praise. And in verse 40 of chapter 6, and you can see why, it's a long chapter, that's why we couldn't read it all, but he just worships the Lord. And you see, the house of God is a place for the worshipping saint. See, we're all included. Some of us, we come in and we're ready to worship. Whoa! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! And the person next to you is coming in and they're the battered, war-weary, and saying, I'd like to be able to be as vibrant as you. But if you've been in my shoes this week, there's no competition between. God's house welcomes all of us, doesn't it? The wanderer, the backslidden, the stranger, the weary and worn out, as well as those who are saying, I want to worship God. And this is the sanctuary, away from the battles, away from the storms, where we can lay down our burdens and we can just come and be refreshed. Our churches ought to be a place where the presence of God is felt, and we need to be a house that is filled with worship. So God's house, it's a place of prayer. It's a place for people. Third one, a characteristic that I believe God is saying about this temple that was being built, that is still true of our church today, is to be a place of power. A place of power. Into chapter 7, verse 1, when Solomon finished praying, the fire of God fell. Now, wouldn't you just like to see that? I would. I was privileged years ago to spend some time with people who were still alive and they'd experienced the Welsh revival. And to sit and listen to the stories were, wow. I remember years ago sitting and talking with a man called Roy Hessian, maybe some of you know that, and he was involved in a revival in East Africa. And listen to that, you think, wow. Julie and I were involved with a church in London. We were naive church leaders. We didn't know what was going on, but God just moved in that church. And we went, well, we went 50 to 30, up to 500. Mostly conversion growth. I thought the same would happen when we came to Weymouth, because you get used to it. And it hasn't. I'm still praying for it. But you kind of, when God just moves, the power of God, it moves. He does something. Place of power. There was a demonstration of miraculous power. The divine presence of God amongst his people. And that just was there. And things haven't changed. God still moves today. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. He does. He wants to bring a display of his supernatural power amongst us. And he may do it any way he chooses. I think that's the important thing. Years ago, I was brought up by my pastor just to begin to pray a little prayer covenant that we had. And one of the prayers each day was pray for God to manifest his glory however he chooses to. We don't dictate how God is going to turn up. He may turn up and save souls. He may turn up and heal bodies. He may turn up and we're all prophesying. He may turn up and we're all doing something else. Who knows? There's a divine presence of God. There was power of God amongst his people. And we should have an expectancy and a faith to see the power of God, particularly when we come together, as well as when we're on our own, have an expectancy there as well. And that same verse also tells us that the glory of the Lord filled the house. Wow. These weren't stories that they'd heard about past revivals. This is what they were experiencing right there and then. God was moving amongst them. And my friends, the Lord still moves in his church. And there'll be no question about it. You'll know about it when God shows up like that. God will manifest his presence and power amongst us. And when God works, he's not going to do it in a quiet corner. He's going to do it for people to see it. Next week's Pentecost. What happened? Was there a quiet little meeting in a back room? Oh, you've got the Holy Spirit. Don't tell anyone. God took them out of that room, didn't he? Right, and so everybody could see it. And there the Holy Spirit came upon them. It's going to be a manifest power of God, presence of God upon his people as we seek to be the people that God wants us to be, the kind of church that God wants us to be. You remember how it's written about in 1 Corinthians 14 when Paul says, and people will come into your service and they will say, God is truly among you. Wouldn't you like that? If you want to go down to that Peyton Baptist church, God is amongst them. Woo! What a testimony. Verse 2 tells us that when the Lord showed up, the priests couldn't serve. Along for that day. It was matchless power. When God moves, it's incomparable to anything else. The Lord loves to do a new thing. As you go into year 136, is it? Next one? You know? God wants to do a new thing. He wants to move amongst you. Be that people of prayer. Be that people that welcomes people whatever stage they're at. Be that people who expect the presence and power of God amongst them, and he will move to your amazement. And when a church is moving in the power and approval of God, there is not a force under heaven that can stand in its way. Finally, you know, fourth characteristic I want to draw from this passage. We've said it's a place of prayer. It's a place for people. It's a place of power. And finally, touched on it before slightly, it's a place of praise. You get in chapter 7, verse 3, when the Lord demonstrated his power before the people, they responded by bowing before him in the wonder of his greatness. There was the praise of just sheer wonderment. This is our God. His love endures forever. They praised and they worshipped, bowing humbly before him. You know, they were merely praising God for who he is. To get lost in the wonder of God. You know, we don't have to wait until we go to big conventions. It can happen with our family here, can't it? What is it Charles Wesley said? Lost in wonder, love and praise. You know, the church today, like that temple in its day, should be a place where people can get lost in worship. Because when we see the Lord just as he is, and we become lost in worship in that sense, our soul is so stuck. It can't be stifled. There's got to be an expression. And I'm not talking just about singing. You know, we can sing songs, or we can not sing songs, even today. It's about an explosion from our heart. It'd be about more, it's about speaking the words as well, singing those words, saying them, prophesying them, preaching with power, giving words and in words of encouragement to others. Lost in worship. Sensing the presence of God. You see, genuine worship is all I am responding to who all God is. All of me responding to all of you. It's giving him the worth, isn't it? That's where worship comes from. That term, worth. You are everything. Ascribing that worth to him. And God hasn't changed. He's still seeking the people that will worship him in spirit and in truth. And as they lift their voices and open their mouths, you know, God is blessed and he blesses them. You know, we can come to church with all sorts of things on our minds. And one of the things I've had to tell my deacons, you know, when we get to church is don't do business. It's easy for, you know, it's a simple word. I don't know if you do it, so I can say it. You know, but just save it. We've got loads of ways to message each other now. Just be here to have fellowship, to love, to pray. Your business, send an email. Release this time together to be family. To be welcoming those people, to have the eyes, give me spiritual insight. Where is that person? What do they need today? What do I need today? Let me make a conclusion. I've gone on long enough. And this was probably the little test for me, because having not stood at a platform and preached a sermon for over a year, you know, we kind of sit in front of a camera and, oh, it goes wrong, we'll just cut that bit out. You know, I kind of like forgotten how to do this, so I don't really know. I haven't been kept track of the time or anything. But what's my point here? What do I really want to share with you today? Is that I am sure every one of you wants the Lord to be able to bless this church. And I've just shared with you a few things that you can do in order to seek to know that God will bless it. To be a people of prayer. To be a people who welcome other people, whatever stage in their journey of life, spirituality, or anything that they come to you as. to be a people of faith and expectancy and anticipation of the power of God moving amongst you, and to be a people who want to praise God and just worship him for all he is. Does that describe you? Do you want the same things? I have come to the conclusion that I'm going to preach this to my own church. one of the things we constantly talk about is, what's our new vision? Where are we going? And I need to tell you, all my points began with P today. And as I was sharing this with you, Julia, yesterday, wasn't it? I thought of two more P's, the negative ones. I said, it doesn't start with our programs. And it doesn't start with our property. Although we all have property that we've got to spend money on roofs. We've all got those. But that's not the beginning. Beginning is
praise,
prayer, people, power of God. Let's be the people that get those and want those and are hungry for that. And God will supply the rest. Seek first his kingdom, It's his way of doing things. Most of the modern church today, I believe, is struggling. But I'm glad it doesn't have to be that way. We can come before God and say, Lord, change us. Give us your priorities. There's another P for you. Give us your priorities as we go forward into a new year as a church. Let me pray. Father God, I pray that you would take this word that is thousands of years old. As they dedicated that temple and they just wanted to get things right, you were guiding them on some of the priority things, the important things that really mattered. To be a people of prayer, to be a people that welcome people, to be a people who expect your power, to be a people of praise. And that's the house that you will bless. And I pray as Paignton Baptist go forward, full of the Holy Spirit, full of loving Jesus and one another and the community around them, that you would bless, bless, bless in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you, Peter and Judah, and bless your church as you share the word with them, having tested it on us. And we're not going to lose this word. We're blessed to have the script at home on it, and we've got it recorded, but we will not lose this word. It'd be good, children, you've been wonderfully patient with us, and I know you've been drawing. It'd be good to see your pictures of your birthday cakes. Do you want to hold them up where we can see them? Some up on the balcony? And can I have a look? Do you want to bring it up? Thank you very much. Okay. Oh, is this a chocolate cake? And I pray for chocolate. Is that what it says?
Amen.
Well, the Lord's Prayer. It says, give us our daily bread. Why not give us our daily chocolate cake? Thank you. That's being honest, isn't it? Thank you very much. Thank you, Zeb. Wonderful. Is there a prayer there, Hilary? Is there a prayer? You could take your mask off, Hilary. Could you read out the prayer for us?
I pray that everyone has a good life and family.
Thank you, Zeb. Thank you so much for that. And we've got a beautiful picture from Noah as well. Has that got a prayer or just a picture?
Yes, just a picture from Noah.
Thank you, Noah. Thank you, Noah and Zeb and Ronna, whose mum's with them today. Lexi. Lexi, do you want to show us your picture? Your dad can show us the picture if you're shy. It's a beautiful picture. Lexi, that's fine. It's a lovely picture. If you want to say the prayer, Gran or Dad, you're very welcome. That's fine. The good thing is, as Peter just shared, everybody's welcome. The shy and the whatever and so on. Yes?
Keep me safe and happy.
I wanted to start with the children's prayers because we can be a bit theological in our prayers. We're going to pray and then we're going to sing one final song, then we're finishing. But I just thought I would read you the prayer that came out of our children's work last week. Is Angela still? Hi, Angela. Angela led the children last week with Josie Helpier. Dear God, help me to be brave when I'm in the dark, when I'm hurt, in the playground, when people tease me for coming to church, when we are bullied. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
That's a real prayer, isn't it? So let's just have a moment to really pray, quietly, or if you want to pray out loud so we can say amen, let's pray.
Change our habits as church, but Lord, we need you to change our nature.
Yeah.
And through changing our nature, the glory of God will fall upon our lives.
Thank you, Lord.
And the mystery of the gospel can be revealed.
Jesus.
For the Lord is to it.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you that Connie enjoys chocolate cake. I thank you that she's blessed to be part of a family that celebrates and enjoys good things. And that she also, with her family, gives away these good things. Lord, we pray before, bless us that we may be a blessing. We pray for that individually and we pray that for us as a people. Bless us that we may be a blessing. Amen. We're going to finish our service with a song, a traditional hymn, and it's sung in the traditional way, but with a video alongside that is a bit different. And the wonderful thing we've discovered over the last year and a bit here, Peter and Julia, is that because we've been using things off the internet, we've had a YouTube produced by the Chit Valley churches, wherever they are, and they're brilliant, and we've had the Bethel groups and the Spring Harvest, whatever. And we've also had the Little Baptist Church, which only had 40 views of this particular song, but it's just wonderful. And this one you'll see as it comes up, it's a traditional hymn that we can speak the words with. It's deliberately been set in the context of everyday life. And praise God for that. So can we have our song? In everyday life, we rest on Thee. If we're able to, let's stand and let's say, share in the grace together for one another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. And with all those that we love.